Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of air related to Amazon FBA, Pro Level, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring in a special guest. His name is Julian Timmins, and he's the co-founder and CTO of Outrun, which is one of the PPC solutions out there when it comes to helping you optimize your campaigns using AI. And we know AI is something that's been very hot topic lately. We see AI taking over across the whole Amazon space. And that's why I wanted to bring Julian today, because I really want to understand, you know, how AI can effectively be implemented across your PPC campaigns and successfully bring the results that you need to keep scaling your brand forward on Amazon. So, Julian, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today. How you doing, my friend?
Great. Thanks, Vincenzo, for inviting me on. Excited to be here and share my insights.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Let's start with a quick intro about yourself. You know, you guys have been doing some interesting stuff in the space, yourself included as well. So tell us about, you know, who's Julian, how you got started into, you know, the Amazon space, and how Outrun came to fruition. And then, of course, let's dive into the topic of today's episode. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So come from a little bit of a different background, I would say, like quite technical. So Sean and myself, so Sean's the co-founder of Outrun. About 15 years ago, we met at Cambridge University doing a PhDs in machine learning. So we come from a fairly like technical background, and not in the area of advertising. It was actually in the area of autonomous vehicles for myself. And then started a bunch of companies, really enjoyed, you know, being an entrepreneur, growing businesses, and always been had an e-commerce theme, I would say. And then around 2019 or so, I started selling on Amazon myself, and not with some e-commerce background, but not with Amazon specific. And then quickly realized, I guess, that to be successful on Amazon, you have to master advertising, right? It's obvious that it takes up significant portions of the app and the website in terms of the space on the page. And it's just, to be successful, you have to do well there. So I kind of, like many sellers, I started using Excel sheets, Google Sheets, you know, and trying to figure it out, download the data, manipulate the data, and come up with the bids for the, you know, to make the improvements. Obviously, that's got limited ability of how much I can scale, right? And then, so naturally, coming from a technical background, I realized that this was a good application for machine learning, right? With Amazon Ads, it's predominantly not really like creative based at this stage. It's more about keywords and bids and so forth. So just wrote some software for my own business and started using it, and it started working really well. And then Sean was actually also selling on Amazon completely separately, and I shared it with him, and he was like, it worked really well for him. And then we kind of like started speaking a bit more broadly to the seller community, and realized that there was still a pain point for many sellers, right? That Amazon, PPC was a crucial part of Amazon, and not necessarily everyone didn't have the right solution. So we turned this into a software solution, and to help with the aim of helping particularly smaller sellers in the early days, right? Just like us, right? Because I think with smaller sellers, you have like limited amounts of data, you don't have that much sales velocity. It's actually a harder problem to solve than once you scale up and you have more data. So they built this software, and one of the key kind of parts of it was like full automation, right? Not like Copilot. We were thinking about full autopilot. And that's still one of the unique things about Outrun, is it's really, we tried to just allow you to set high level business objectives, and then Outrun goes and does all the heavy lifting, right, in terms of campaign creation, bid optimization, and everything. So it's been an interesting journey over the last 4 or 5 years or so. And we have built a great relationship with Amazon. We got recognized a year or two ago through their partner awards. And just been scaling up the business across predominantly North America and European markets in terms of our customers that's and amazing. Clients. But yeah, it's been an amazing journey.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, I think something I want to bring to the table about this is, you know, you mentioned automation, and this is something that when it comes to PPC, sometimes, you know, people is concerned about, because especially as you said at the beginning, for sellers that, of course, have no knowledge, the opportunity to do a lot of heavy lifting with tools like yours is a huge advantage, because a lot of people, when they're getting started, they don't know, you know, what kind of campaigns they have to create, what is the right structure, what is the right kind of segmentation they have to do. So the heavy lifting adds a ton of value when it comes to that. But then there is also the debate, especially on automation, that to some extent you also need to you know, understand what is happening in the backend for you to keep strategizing and growing your brand. So I guess as a first question, I'm sure you get asked this all the time when it comes to the automation of PPC. What is your take on that? Do you like to take more approach where you, as the founder of your brand, you still have to be able to mastermind behind, you know, what is the actual top level strategy, and then let the AI or tool to implement the daily admin stuff? Or you're more an advocate that we are at a stage where, you know, AI can fully automate everything from top to bottom? Like, what is your main takeaway when it comes to that?
Yeah, I probably lean a little bit more to the full automation. I think there's been decent amounts of progress there in the last couple of years, right? And to give you some context of why I think that. So with Autron, it connects with both your ad account and also your Seller Central account. Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons why it connects with your Seller Central account is so that it can pull all the data about your listing, right? So not only does it get the categories that you're in, it gets all the title and all of the bullet points and all the written content about your products, as well as the images. And now we use AI to actually get a like linguistic picture of what your product is, right? It's not really, you know, as long as you know, you're selling a yoga mat and there's the word yoga mat like in the title, highly likely, right? It's quite obvious for Autron to pick out like the key areas where, what is your product, right? And I think that's one of the key starting points, particularly for newer sellers or newer products, right? Then the other thing, I mean, if you've been selling for a little bit on Amazon, of course, you've built up some history, right, in terms of advertising sales data. And that's another crucial part of informing Autron what's your product and what has worked and what hasn't worked in the past, right? So when we connect, Amazon allows us to go back in time 90 days on the ad side. So we can get all of the successful keywords and the ones that weren't successful. So kind of combining those two things, Autron has a pretty good picture from day one what your product is and how best to advertise it. Now, that's the kind of like first step, you know, is exploiting what we know. And then the second step is around exploration into new opportunities. And that's where a lot of the like strategy, I guess, comes in. But you have to be mindful that the more you explore, it's kind of risky, right? You don't know that area. If you want to like hit certain ACoS or TACoS target, you can't go mad with your exploration. You
have to keep
it coming in. So I think, you know, broadly speaking, we've seen great results for brands of all different sizes scaling up using like a really fully automated approach.
Nice. Now, when it comes to automation, another question I get a lot, and it would be great to pick your brain on this, is how you adapt this, depending, adjust this based on the objectives that you are looking to achieve. And what I mean by that is usually automation can be very good when it comes to, you know, be very basically optimal with your expenses, your bids, you know, reducing your tackles and all of that. But sometimes might not be the best solution. That's where I want to have the conversation when it comes to maybe penetrate a certain market, get more market share, be more aggressive. Because, you know, there are certain sometimes strategies that have nothing to do with KPIs in terms of profitability or anything like top level metrics. It's more about, you know, me controlling a specific keyword, me more controlling a defensive strategy, or more about, you know, taking sales from a competitor, which, yes, I'm losing money, but it's more a long-term play then we can go into, you know, lifetime value conversation and things like that. So that's where things start to become very, very complex. And it's not anymore a function of, you know, tacos, conversion, impressions and all that. So when it comes to that level of complexity, where do you think AI is currently sitting? Do you think it's already smart enough to take all that reasoning into consideration? Or that's where you still think a habit approach is the best implementation for sellers at that
stage? So I think, yeah, to kind of cater for different like phases of a product's lifecycle, for example, this is where you can choose different goals depending on what you're trying to achieve. So the idea is like you give it the goal and it's like the business objective for that. And you can actually do that at an ASIN level. Nice. So it's not like you have to commit the whole account to the same strategy, which, you know, as you say, might not make sense for certain products, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So you can drill it down to like these ASINs are going to be optimizing profitability. Okay. These ASINs are going to be maximizing sales, but trying to keep the ACoS below some threshold. You can adjust that ACoS. You know, you could be 100% if you want to go more aggressive and for a certain period of time. We also have something called turbo mode, which is like basically you turn on turbo mode for the goal, and then that's where you're really being, Auton's being pretty aggressive about gaining impressions and really going after the growth. Right. So I think there is nuanced strategies as you described, but we have a lot of the bases covered. And of course, I think like any decent PPC strategy should have incorporate things around like a brand strategy and defensive play, and then also going after the key competitors. I would say like the one thing to be, sometimes when you go too kind of off book, I guess, with these strategies, like you don't know whether the returns are going to be there in the future. And I guess, you know, us trying to keep the focus somewhat on how do I just get the most sales for a given TACOS or ACOS often goes a long way, I would say, right? Yeah. Just in terms of like, if it finds those competitors that drive great sales and you can still get a good, fairly good return on investment, then it would do that. And I guess the other thing to say is just that we're not doing like rule-based optimization here, right? It's very much like the analogy, I think, is like trading on the stock market where you've got some capital and it's about how do I deploy that capital amongst the...
based on performance.
Stock market. Yeah, based on performance. And it's like optimizing that capital to get the best returns, right? So in some places you will see that it's like well above the ACoS target because that's where there's search volume and that's how it's growing the brand. And then it's in other areas it's well under the ACoS target. And it's because it's doing that kind of like full portfolio optimization to actually extract the most performance. So pretty sophisticated stuff under the hood, but try to keep it like
of course. Yeah.
Try to keep it easy to use, I would say.
And also another thing I get asked a lot, I'm sure you do as well, is, you know, at what stage usually automation is the best fit? Because I'm sure you have sellers that are just getting started, and many sellers that are doing $20 million, right? And they might have the question, is actually automation at a bigger budget spend, like something you have to be more careful because of, you know, the incremental impact can have a bigger ranges of spend? Or you will say from your experience, not really something that you bother about? Like what is your takeaway on that? Like is the stage where you are automation more impactful than all, also because of the amount of data, or you haven't seen a significant impact when it comes to that?
I would say, I mean, in terms of like the sweet spot in terms of our customers, I think people doing five figures a month is kind of the ones that are, you know, consistently hitting the targets and growing. And I think the primary reason for that, it really just comes down to the amount of data Auton's got. Like it's more confident about the actions it takes if it's got more data to like to understand the distribution between success and not.
Exactly. Right?
So that's why coming back to my initial when Auton got started, we were tackling, and we still are, like the harder problem is the kind of smaller sellers because the data points are very sparse, right?
The one that spend like 20, 30 pounds per day is like,
That's a little tricky. I mean, to be frank with you, like spending like under $1,000 or pounds a month is kind of a little bit more tricky, right? And I feel
it's gambling at that stage. I say that to people, like when you're spending less than $1,000, given that you don't have data, you're kind of gambling because you don't have enough data to quantify your actions, right? To some extent, like you don't have the data, and
of course, like there's two sides to this coin, right? We operate on we get the customer onto your listing, but it's about the conversion on the listing. So there's two sides, right? The price, the conversion rate of the actual product of the page is super, super important. And of course, the reviews accounts massively. So when you just get started, you've got limited reviews, and that's probably the main driver for a lower conversion rate. And you can't be necessarily as aggressive with your bids because your conversion rate's so low. So you do have to allocate a decent budget to get the data and to be able to like grow the business, I would say.
Yeah. And you mentioned something there as well, which is conversion and the listing, which is something is very important to keep making emphasis, because I'm sure you get this comment a lot. Like people think that when the product is not working, it's not because of the product or the images or copies, because they haven't found the perfect PPC strategy out there, the silver bullet that's going to save the product. And I feel it's important to keep bringing to the table that PPC is there to quantify and essentially amplify actually the success of your product. What I mean by this is your product in the first place on its own has to be successful. It has to be a good product, has to have a good pricing, has to be very well optimized, because as you say, you can have the best PPC strategy, but if then the traffic is not converting, it's meaningless, right? And then it's not going to be able to get scaled profitable, right?
Yeah, so I mean, as a kind of very rough rule of thumb, I would say that for your kind of like primary keywords that really do describe what your product is, you really want to be in the 15 to 25% conversion rate, I would say, really kind of above 20%. And that's a metric which you can understand even before you're doing advertising, right? And so that is kind of as a ballpark figure, like where you want to get to. If you kind of have that like 20% conversion rate, that means like 1 in 5 clicks end up being a sale, right? And then, very rough maths in terms of like 1 in 5, and say you're spending like $1 or £1 a click or whatever, right? So you're spending £5. You need a conversion, right? If you sell a $20 product, then immediately that kind of makes sense. So it's like 25% ACOS. So I think it's a really important part, and it's an area that we're actually expanding into, because what we realized is like we can create this amazing algorithm, but if the listing is not actually optimized. So we don't currently offer kind of a full service in the AdSense. We focus just on the ad side. We realized that there's definitely a big overlap there, and it's an area that we're actively
expanding into. Yeah, and you mentioned something there as well, a cost per click and the conversion. That's something I feel people take they take the wrong assumptions when it comes to them. So many times when they launch a product, from the perspective that they don't know what is the average CPC on their market, they don't know what is the average conversion on their market, and on top of that, they don't consider that against their margins in terms of how much they pay for a product, what is the price point. And when actually you make the calculation, there are certain products that even if you have the perfect conversion and perfect like PPC, it's never going to be profitable. And that's something people don't even know before launching a product. And it's good that you bring that to the table, because I feel you need to understand those metrics before launching a product in the first place. Because sometimes if the number don't make sense, there is no point in having, the best PPC, the best tool and everything, when the numbers by nature are not going to match for you, and they're not going to allow you to scale your brand,
Yeah, I think there's two kind of important things. You have to understand, like, is your product the repeat purchase product, or is it like a one-time purchase? So if it's a one-time purchase, kind of just thinking about ACOS and TACOS is okay, right? And you can understand the unit economics of your product and how much budget you're going to allocate to PPC. if it's a repeat purchase product, then you need to think more about the lifetime value of the customer, right? And then you can actually be doing 100% ACoS. Mm-hmm. That's totally fine, right? Because basically the lifetime value of the customer is 1, 2, 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that acquisition up front is totally fine if it's like a supplement product or something like that. So there is you have to just be aware of the, you know, what type of product you're selling. And people always kind of just broadcast, oh, you want a cost of like 30%.
Exactly.
Well, that doesn't make sense if it's like a product with a massive lifetime value, right? And as you say, it could be 100% could be fine, right? So these are some of the nuances you kind of like, oh, maybe not nuances. These are the kind of fundamentals you kind of need to start when you're deciding how much like budget to allocate and what's successful and what's not.
Yeah. Basically. Now, I'm curious, like you mentioned lifetime value, and this is something that I'm been hearing more and more from people's mouth, and it makes sense. It's something that's definitely a perspective that people need to start looking into, because I agree, there's so many products that you need to stop focusing on top of the kind of funnel metrics and focus on the lifetime value and the recurring purchase rate and all those things, because sometimes the acquisition cost is so high that it's always going to offset that initial purchase and you think you're losing money, but you're actually not in the long term. So from a PPC perspective and everything you guys are doing, Ultron, like, have you guys already figured a way to take these things in consideration? Like, is there a way already to do optimization based on lifetime value, understanding, you know, what you're going to get in the long term out of these clients and so on?
I think, you know, most people would recognize pretty quickly if their product is going to be purchased multiple mm-hmm. times. We still think that, you know, subscribe and save is a great way to kind of lock mm-hmm. people in. Okay, you take a bit of a hit on the top line revenue on per purchase, but over the long term, it makes a lot of sense. And then working out what your LTV is, your lifetime value, is a little bit tricky on the Amazon world, because you don't explicitly get the customer data, right? But you do actually get, not to go into the details too much, but you can get like proxies for customers, because you get their postcode typically, and you also get some kind of masked email address. Using those two pieces of information, you can get a good idea if that customer is repeat or mm-hmm. not, right? So if you build out kind of what is the lifetime value of the customer, say you're selling, I don't know, a $10 product and it's $100 lifetime value, then at that stage, you know, that's when you come back to Orchard and you can say, okay, well, actually, you know, I can actually afford an ACoS of 75%, mm-hmm. for example. And then if we provide the data, I think, for you to make that, hopefully to draw that conclusion. But ultimately, you've got to set the target of 75%, and Autron goes and achieves that, basically. So just keep an eye on those two things.
It's reverse engineering, I think. Which is something that
value evolving and.
Yeah, which is something a lot of people don't do. Like, I have this conversation with sellers all the time. People don't even know how to calculate it. And you gave a pretty good example. Yeah, you can match, you know, the order reports with the email IDs and kind of do a macro and see the repetition of orders. Amazon, to some extent, has realized the customer loyalty dashboard within Brand Analytics, so you can have a feeling already. So, you know, Amazon has understood that it's coming. And I think it's going to be a matter of time before you start seeing certain metrics, even the PPC dashboard, that are really like new to brands and all those things are pointing toward that kind of transition. Amazon understanding certain brands need to stop focusing on ACoS, TACoS, and ROAS and actually focus on the long-term approach. You know?
I think that makes sense. As you say, there is more tools. It's not about knowing the lifetime value exactly. It's about just getting a proxy, right? Like, is it, you know, what is it roughly? And like most mm-hmm. business things, you know, you make a decision based on 70% of the information.
Exactly.
There's a good rule of thumb. So this is like another case like that.
Cool. Now, to start closing the episode, I guess, Julia, another thing I would like to take from you is like, what are some of the maybe assumptions or bad practices when it comes to using AI on PPC that you're seeing people are doing that's actually affecting them in a negative way? Or maybe some learnings you want to share? Is there some insights you want to share with us so we can come to a closure?
Yeah, I think a few things I would say. I think first and foremost, it normally takes these tools a little bit of time to to lock on, right? It's and when I say time, I don't mean like a day or two. You know, it could be, you know, more like a few weeks to get things moving, and it's kind of like a progressive thing. And with most of these tools, it doesn't like wild changes. Like, it doesn't really want you to go from one day at like 20% ACOS or the next day 100%. So it is about when it kind of like giving a little bit of time and making more gradual changes, and you'll see the trends moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And I guess another kind of thing that we sometimes see is like, people often think like, oh, I've got this automation now, I can just like flood it with keywords. Because we also offer this ability so you can like see keyword ideas to Autron as well. And, you know, I think like with that great power comes great responsibility. If you just say, hey, Autron, these are like 1,000 keywords that are like pretty broad that you like just got from, I don't know, Jungle Scout or wherever it might be, and dumped it into Autron, then it's kind of going to confuse things, I would say. So for our tool in particular, which is really very much like knows what your product is linguistically, got some hard data points around advertising, those kind of bits of information can be pulled together and can make great progress, I would say. So yeah, give a bit of time, and more is not necessarily better when it comes to keywords, I would say, which is again a general good practice, I think, when you're running ads manually yourself as well.
Yes. And I think, you know, that's a good way to close the episode. I think, you know, time is a very important virtue to learn when it comes to PPC. I feel people fall into the trap of thinking that if that every single day on their PPC dashboard, changing their bids, changing budget, doing tweaking here and there, it's going to actually allow them to be more profitable. And we both know that's actually the worst thing you can do, because you're not letting the system to, you know, essentially allow you to generate enough data to understand what is actually happening. You become, at that point, you're guessing your moves, right? So I think it's an important thing to keep putting out there, because I know sellers get very, you know, nervous when it comes to that. They see a day, the ACOS go to 70-80%, and they completely change the whole strategy when it's only one day. Yeah. You know?
No, absolutely. That's a good point. Yeah. That's a great shout out there.
Yeah. Awesome, Julius. So I guess, you know, for people that want to work with you and everything you guys do on Autron, like how people can reach out and, you know, if they want to ask any questions and explore all the information in more depth,
Sure. So our website is autron.ai, and it's a software platform. So anyone can just jump on there, subscribe, chat to our bot, who's super insightful. Email us at hello@autron.ai if you want to have a conversation that way, or reach out to me on LinkedIn or through socials, and we can have a conversation and explore what we can do for you.
Awesome, Julian. So pleasure. Thank you so much. Looking forward to see you in Thailand, hopefully.
Take care. All the best.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the E-commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.